Good evening, everyone. Welcome once again to Voice of Reason Radio. Your hosts, Chris Honholtz and Richard Story, joining you once again. Today is November 17th. We're almost all the way through November. 17th, 2018. That means the year is almost over. And if you haven't started your Christmas shopping, get moving. Because you almost have no time left. So, we join you once again, and we thank you for allowing us to have last week off. We'll talk about that in just a moment as to why we took that. We definitely, I think, needed that, Rich and I. And we're grateful to be with you. We're grateful to spend time with you again this week. And if you're new to Voice of Reason Radio, just a quick explanation. This is two knuckleheaded Christians, and I say that in a little bit of jest, from opposite sides of the country, one in Mississippi, one in Nevada, who are neither classically trained or scholars or experts in any way, shape, or form, but two people who love Jesus Christ, love the Bible, and believe that the lens through which we should view all of our lives is through the Word of God. That is the first and primary lens that you look through as you go through life. It's not your emotions, it's not your feelings or your personal interpretations or what anybody else has taught you. It is first and foremost through the Word of God. And that's the whole point of Voice and Reason Radio, is to take your daily life, our daily lives, current events, circumstances that we go through, and let's talk about how we should live in light of that, in knowing who we serve, who our Lord and Savior is, and what His Word says about these things and how we can apply them. So we welcome you. We thank you for your time. And, sheer myriad of podcasts that are out there, that if you take time to listen to us, we're grateful more than you can imagine. And we ask for your prayers as always. And if you are so inclined to keep tabs on what's going on with this program, you can always go to slavetotheking.com. That's our website, where occasionally we do throw blog articles up, or you can find all of our podcasts. You can also find links to the iTunes and Podbean account links, where you can put it into your favorite RSS reader and listen to podcasts as you go. So with all that said, Rich, how are you doing this week, brother?
Well, brother, while you were talking, you gave me an idea for a new catchphrase for the radio show. We know a little bit about everything, but we're experts at nothing.
I think I like that. I like that very much. We may have to put that on T-shirts or something. So,
I will add to what you said, though, in our intro and sharing about our program. If you are so inclined and there is a particular episode that jumps out at you that you've liked or has helped you in some way, if you would, please leave us a review on iTunes, because that does help us get found by other listeners. It seems like the way that algorithm works, people, shows with reviews, it kind of helps get the circulation going. So maybe we can reach out and help someone else that otherwise may not ever come across our little radio show.
Absolutely. Oh, and Rich, I completely forgot. What was the thing I told you we can do this on now? There is a new way that you can listen.
Spotify.
You can now listen to Voice of Reason Radio through your Spotify app. They actually had a link for Podbean. I guess this is a relatively new development. I haven't bothered to check our social media connection portion of the Podbean account for a little while, and I had to go in and check something and stumbled across the fact that we could now hook up and apply to Spotify. And Spotify now has accepted it. And you can go into your Spotify app or account, and you can look for our program there. And you can download, if you put Spotify on your phone or your iPhone or your Android device and carry it with you, you now have another opportunity to listen to us. Does that sound like that? Did they would want to do that, Rich, on Spotify? maybe that's not such a good idea.
go ahead. One thing though, if you're looking for the program and you're looking for our little logo icon, for some reason, on different applications, the little icon shows up different. I know on iTunes, it's our old one with the cross with the sky background.
Yeah, and I got to figure out how to change. I think that's maybe what I was looking to go do, but for some reason, I haven't figured out how to change that just yet. I'm of very limited knowledge. In fact, I'm of such limited knowledge, I got a weird email from Google for their web crawler, and it says that there is some kind of, if you guys are experts, please email me because I have no idea what to do here. Apparently, we have this thing with the Google web crawler that says there's a soft 404 error, which it, I guess that means it, when it crawled across a certain page, it was expecting to find certain content that wasn't there. So I don't know why that's an error. I asked the folks who host our stuff. They're not sure either. So I'm going to keep digging. But that's that's why Rich and I, when we say know a little bit of everything, experts at nothing, we are literally experts at nothing. So
what was it called?
It was the soft 404 error. 404 is that big nasty number you get when the web page suddenly doesn't exist anymore. This is something like, apparently there's something on a specific page that should be there but isn't, and it's telling me fix it, and I'm like, can you tell me which one it is? Because I have no idea.
but it said soft, S-O-F-T.
Yeah, and I will say the folks over at Bluehost were very nice. They sent me some articles that that will help me narrow that down. When I have time, I will look into it. If, however, you go to slavetoking.com and you're perusing the page and you happen to stumble across something that doesn't seem like it looks right, other than the fact that maybe you just don't agree with us, please let me know, and that might help me narrow it down. So keep a lookout if you are so inclined. And like we said, you can listen to the program now on Spotify. If you have a Spotify app, just look for Voice of Reason Radio in the podcast, and you will be able to put it right on there. So very cool, very neat new development. Didn't know we could do it until I happened to be playing with it last week, and now we can do that. So, anyway, Rich, how are you doing this week, brother, besides coming up with new catchphrases?
Well, I'm, like I always tell you, brother, I'm better than I deserve. There's been ups and downs the last 2 or 3 weeks, just like everyone else has. But I've noticed, personally, with those that are familiar with the show, I'm disabled, and I have multiple disc injuries in my neck and my lower back. And I've noticed, as I get older, it seems like each year, our Mississippi weather just is just wreaking havoc on pain and different things. I can remember growing up and my granddaddy talking about his knee hurting, and he could always tell when it was going to rain. Well, I've morphed that into where I'm, if I had a superpower, it'd be able to predict the weather. And over the last 2 weeks, it's been a roller coaster, because 2 weeks ago we had tornadoes, and our tornado siren was going off, and then the following week we had snow and ice. So if that just kind of gives you an idea of what weather down south in November's like. We don't have fall. We have days of fall, days of winter, days of spring. We just kind of get it all mixed up together. But there were areas in the south that got a good bit of snow, and it was like record setting cold, low temperatures, and record-setting snowfall in areas South Tennessee, North Mississippi, places you wouldn't normally think of getting snow, especially in November. And it's just been, and our temperatures have matched. I sent you a chart showing our weather pattern for like the last month. And I mean, seriously, it was just all over the place. So the old joke really is not a joke anymore when it comes to weather down south. If you don't like the weather, just be still. It'll change in the next hour. It's just about dead on.
Wowzers. Well, I won't complain quite as much about the fact that, you know, it's just cold for us right now. So I think I can live with that maybe just a little bit more in that case.
Oh, and just throw this in. I don't know. Someone might find it amusing. There have been days in the last two weeks, literally, to where I have the heater on at night, and by mid-afternoon of the next day, I'll have the heater off and the fan blowing.
Yeah, I'll believe it.
That kind of up and down.
Yeah, this time of year, I'll come into the office at work, turn on the heat because it's warm. It's bitter cold. About midday, you're flipping the switch over to the AC because we're all starting to sweat inside that office. So this time of year, just it you know, you call it yo-yo because that's about what it's equivalent to. All right, well, folks, I do want to say thank you for the unexpected absence last week. if you, when you listen to the program, you hear some intro music that neither of us are capable of coming up with. It was actually a gift from a dear, now departed friend. And the logo for Voice of Reason and Radio was also a gift from that same friend. And last week, November 8th, 2018, I'm sitting at home. My wife and kids are in town, and I'm fiddling around on my Xbox or something. I happen to look down at my phone, and it popped up at just that moment and hit me like a ton of bricks. And I sent it to Rich, and it suddenly was running like wildfire. And a good friend of ours, Elijah Hankins, had passed away unexpectedly. Now, we don't know the details, and we're going to leave that to the family to deal with. That's their burden to carry right now. But he had unexpectedly passed away. And he leaves behind two daughters and a wonderful woman that he had recently met and developed a wonderful relationship with. And they all now have to live with the loss of a wonderful, wonderful man. Just wanted to share with you for a couple moments why we had been gone last week. Is Elijah, Rich and I will both give our takes on him, but Elijah was one of those rare souls that when we talk about on this program about how to interact with one another and how to be balanced and how to show love and compassion and to avoid the rhetoric and the vitriol and stuff like that, Elijah was one of those characters. I don't think I ever saw that man not have a kind word for someone. Loved music. The music that you hear, he created. When we were back doing Cross Encounters Radio, and I decided I just wanted to play around doing an audio blog. I wasn't trying to do a competing podcast. I enjoyed doing this stuff, so I wanted to do more of it. And I was trying to find something, some sort of instrumental music. And Elijah had these songs that he had created, and they were in his files. And he's like, here, take them. You can use these. And it was just amazing, the kindness. I mean, I didn't expect, and I just wanted somebody to point me in the right direction. I didn't expect anybody to give us anything. It costs time and money to make music. And he was kind. He just did that. And when we were trying to figure out how to do the logo, Rich, you know, it was Elijah that contacted you and got us set up with a logo for Voice of Reason Radio. And he loved doing that. Graphics work, music, just loved doing it. And he loved being there for his brethren. I mean, he'd stop and do whatever he needed to do to help you out. And, he just exemplified that compassionate nature that we're supposed to have as Christians. And even when there would be an issue of disagreement, Elijah never took to the pitchforks and torches. He'd voice his opinion on the issue and say why, and he would do so respectfully. And he would do so with the fact that, you know, even if you disagreed with each other at the end of it, he wasn't going to treat you like garbage. And his departure from this world, I mean, the Lord called him home for his purposes, and that's according to God's will. But this world is a little bit less bright without someone like Elijah in it. And he is sorely, sorely missed. And Rich and I both took that one in the chest when that came through. So that's why we couldn't be with you last week. We were mourning the loss of a friend. And so, Rich, I'll let you give your thoughts, but I wanted to share that with folks.
Yeah, when I think I got a message from you about the same time I got a message from my wife, and listening, it sounds like both of you saw it about the same time, because the messages from the two of you came through at the same time, because my wife knew how much I loved Elijah and how dear and close of a friend I considered him. And when she saw it, you know, she was at work, and for whatever, I think she was at lunch or something, and had glanced at her Facebook and had saw the message and she wanted to let me know. But it was just utter shock because, you know, it just came out of nowhere. And I know that it's hard anytime a friend or a family member passes, but it seems like if it's a person that has, you know, been sick or suffering from something, it's not quite as much of a shock as someone that, you know, 2 or 3 days earlier was posted and nothing, you know, nothing seemed wrong or going on, and then just get that out of the blue. It's almost like, okay, my first thought is, okay, is this some kind of a joke or is this some kind of a gag? You know, I knew deep down that he would never do anything like that. But, you know, your mind wanders to some weird places sometimes when something unexpected as a dear friend passing, you know, kind of comes along. But I honestly can't remember when I first started having interactions with Elijah. I'm pretty sure it was back during Cross Encounters Radio and when we were involved with Cross Encounters Ministries, because he worked on several projects with me for Cross Encounters Ministries, and I'm pretty sure that's how I came to get to know him. And over the years, I've worked on several different little projects with him. He helped me with designing a couple of different types of tracks, and, you know, he, out of the kindness of his heart, gave us the music, did the logo for us, and he was just a very, very quiet, gentle, humble man that loved the Lord, and he loved and was the epitome of Christian brotherhood, because, like you said, I can't recall him ever, you know, taking the pitchfork, going after people. He was just, you know, he would voice his opinion and stand on biblical truth, but he always did it in a gentle and loving way that, you know, we all should strive to be like that. Mm-hmm. You know, not using a hammer when, you know, velvet would work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's just, you know, like you said, we'd ask everyone to please keep his family in their prayers. And I have no doubt that we'll see our brother again in heaven one day. But mm-hmm. like you said, this world and this realm is a little, the light maybe to say is dimmed a little bit. And, you know, we're saddened by his loss, but on the same token, praise the Lord, because we know that he's with our Lord now, and that, you know, he's free from the chains and bonds of Amen. This earth and the suffering that this world brings and everything else, and he will truly be dearly missed.
Amen. Amen. So, folks, if you would be so kind, even now perhaps, to pause the program, to say a prayer for those family members that he and loved ones he's left behind, to pray for their comfort, their knowledge that God's hand is in complete control. This is not something that caught God by surprise. This was according to his plan and his sovereign will. May they take comfort in that knowledge, and the knowledge that he was so dearly loved by so many people, and we all will dearly miss him, and pray for them that they would rejoice in knowing that he is now with his Savior. And maybe just take a moment to think about, like what we've talked about on this show, how can I be somebody like that? That speaks with compassion, with love, with firm conviction, never wavering, but tempered with that love that you have for your fellow man. Because I think as Rich and I both said, Elijah exemplified that. And so pray that more of us would show that kind of Christian brotherly character. So anyway, again, thank you for the patience. It happens more often than we would like that we lose a day or a week. It's one of those things that having families, having careers, having health issues, sometimes interrupts the podcast. And maybe we'll never be as consistent as we'd like, but or maybe you all would like, but we appreciate the patience when those unexpected events like this come up. So thank you for that. So Rich, in the spirit of Elijah Hankins, let's talk about doing something we need to do compassionately and lovingly. And let's talk about forgiveness and reconciliation with one another when we sin against someone or someone sins against us. Let's talk about that.
Let me stop you real quick and just ask, next week being Thanksgiving, are we going to attempt to have a show next week, or do we need to go ahead and let everyone know that we'll be taking Thanksgiving weekend off?
Let's, you know what, folks, take Thanksgiving weekend off and be with your families. You don't need to listen to us that weekend. We'll come back. You go spend time with your families next week. Unplug, put your phone away, put your iPod or your iPhone or your Android device, tablet, computer, whatever. Stop worrying about what we got to say and go talk to your families next week. I think they'd love that.
All right. Well, getting back on track on tonight's topic and carrying it on from there, I'm just going to jump in and I'm going to ask you a question. If you offended me, would this be the way I should approach you?
Uh-oh.
Chris, you owe me an apology and I demand you give me one now.
Coming from me, it probably would be appropriate. Knowing how often I stick my foot in my mouth all the way up to the ankle, that might not be a wrong way to do it. But in reality, as a Christian perspective, I would say no, we should not approach how we are offended or sinned against in a hostile, demanding manner. I do not believe that's what Scripture commands of us. Do you?
Well, no, but isn't that the way that we see it done online and mm-hmm. in the world all the time? That doesn't people come up with animosity and just want to get rid of their negative feelings and just dump on us and beat us over the head and demand that we apologize to them and that it's all our fault and they did nothing wrong and that we hurt their feelings and you know,
yeah,
I demand you must apologize. Do you think that approach? The way that some, and sadly, I've seen Christians almost go in with that same kind of approach. But do you think that reflects an atmosphere of where that person is really, truly wanting to be reconciled, or are they just out for a pound of flesh wanting some type of revenge?
Well, and I think that's the problem, is what is the motivation when we go to someone and bring up an issue of sin? It was Christ himself that commanded that if someone sins against us, that we are to take it to them. However, when we look at those passages, and it's the command of Jesus, you know, where we're talking about the issue of church discipline, that famous passage that so often gets mangled and said, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there I am. In my name, there I am. That has to do with church discipline, by the way, not a prayer meeting. But that, you know, I digress. The point of that passage when Christ says, if a brother is sinned against you, go and take it to him. What are we going to him for? What is the whole point of the progressive nature of that issue of church discipline? It's to bring a person into right standing with the person they've sinned against, and primarily in right standing with God. We care enough about a person who has sinned that we want them to be reconciled to God. We don't want them in a state of unrepentant sin. In fact, it's the book of 1 John that talks about these issues of ongoing lifestyle of unrepentant sin that would actually indicate someone is not in Christ. So it's an issue of, I care enough about you, not that I'm personally offended, although that it is okay to be hurt when someone sins against you, but I care enough about you that I don't want you to be in that constant state of unrepentant sin, because I want you right with God. And Rich, I think what I see the problem here is that when we come to someone and say, you did this to me and I'm offended because, and how dare you, what is that communicating? Is that communicating I'm concerned about your state, your current state with God, or am I concerned more about my own personal feelings?
Well, that type of attitude, it's more to do with the person's pride, because, you know, how dare you say or do anything that would offend me, or how dare you sin against me? The first step, and sadly, I'm going to backtrack just a moment. I've noticed you either see one or two things, and I'm talking among Christianity, not the world. You either see one or two things. Sadly, it's generally either that attitude, that you owe me an apology, I demand it, or it's complete silence. The person that feels sinned against never goes to the brother or sister and addresses with them what has happened. And that causes harm to both the offender and the offended, mm-hmm. because I'll use you as an example. Say you said or did something or sinned against me in some way, and if I never bring it up to you, over time, that's going to build and fester in my mind, and maybe several other little small things come along to the point to where it's all just one giant ugly ball that could have been prevented. But because of all that, I just quit having anything to do with you. I quit talking to you. I quit interacting with you, and I just ignore you and go on. But yet that reconciliation process has never taken place. And yes, reconciliation is a two-part process, mm-hmm. because first, you know, you owe it to that other person and to yourself to address with them the fact that, you know, they did this, or this to you. And I don't think people know or really think about how to approach someone else that has either hurt their feelings or sinned against them. But first and foremost, in approaching someone, the first thing you need to do is pray about it and truly forgive them before you ever even address what they did to you. Mm-hmm. And then you go to them humbly and say something like, Chris, you may not have realized this, but you did such and such, and it really hurt me. I felt really offended by it, you know, or, you know, that would be for, you know, maybe something small, but, you know, there are different situations to where, you know, you may say something and I'm offended by it, may hurt my feelings, but it may not have anything to do with you having sinned. It could be my own sin, my own pride that is causing those feelings. So first thing we need to do is examine ourselves.
Yeah.
Examine the situation and read the Bible and take it to the Word of God and decide if that truly was a sin against me, or was it because of my own pride that I felt jaded?
Exactly. And that's part of the problem, I think, in so many cases. Like when you came up with the example of, well, you did this and you offended me and you need to apologize. You sent me an article prior to the show that I thought was fantastic from Tim Challies, and he addresses that very issue that you just discussed. Is there actually an issue of sin here, or is it a personal issue for me? Maybe I just didn't like the way you said something. Maybe I didn't like a particular perspective you had, and I thought that was offensive. In fact, you and I were talking it in pre-show. We see that within the world right now. If we say something that's biblically true, for example, homosexuality is a sin. That is a biblical truth. If you say that, then, you know, it's considered offensive and you're demanded to apologize and retract it. Whether it's a biblical truth or not, it's considered offensive. Now, Rich, you're right. If I was to go to someone and say, homosexuality is a sin, and you are blah, 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 and I launch into this terrible diatribe about the character of that person, and I call them all kinds of names, just because I put a biblical truth in front of it, that doesn't mean I'm not sinning. And oftentimes, I think that's part of the problem, especially we see online. We say, well, I said something true, and so I couldn't have sinned if I'm just telling you the truth. Well, yes, you can. You can be offensive. You can be mean and nasty, and you can call people names and all those things. And guess what? Those are things that can be sin. And so, Rich, even if we're saying something biblically true, we need to say it with that, you know, the concept of teaching the truth, preaching the truth in love. And so there's that issue. But we also have to determine, okay, someone's mad at me. They say they're angry with me and they're offended, but did I sin? And Tim Challies makes a fantastic argument about that in this article. And in one particular paragraph, he says, confrontation is good and necessary where there has been sinful offense. God tells us to confront sin because because offense causes alienation. It causes relationships to grow distant or even be severed, as you were mentioning, Rich. Satan loves to use this lack of unity to undermine God's work. Disunity is dangerous. The purpose of biblical confrontation is to bring about reconciliation, to bring peace between two parties. And then he says, talking about the example he gives where an individual had gotten on between talks at a particular event he'd been at. The guy started getting on him, and Tim had asked him, have I sinned against you in some way? And Tim says here, the reason I asked this gentleman whether or not I had sinned against him was to identify whether the onus lay on me to pursue reconciliation. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And I want to obey that mandate. It was clarifying to hear him say that I had not sinned against him. It proved he was not confronting sin in a biblical way and was not pursuing reconciliation. He was just blowing off steam. And Rich, you're right. When we need to sit down and pray and talk to God about what's in our hearts, that one of those things is, am I just unhappy with his perspective? Am I just unhappy that he would have the wherewithal to stand upon his convictions and say something that I didn't agree with? Or is it that he actually sinned against me in some way? And you're right, that first step is, am I doing this rightly? Am I understanding this rightly? And how then should I pursue it if it's an issue of sin? So I agree with you on that.
Sisters, and I'll speak for you in this situation, that if we have ever said or done anything that have hurt the brother or sister, or they feel like that we've sinned against them in some way, I would hope that they could come to us and explain to us, hey, you did or said such and such, you know, this is kind of how it made me feel, you know. It can be done in a very humble, graceful manner without the complete separation or ignoring or writing that person off, or, you know, I've had friendships over the years become mangled and basically non-existent now because of a simple misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should never let some simple misunderstanding cause a division between us being able to share the love and grace of Christ between each other.
Absolutely. And I think I think all of us would recognize going to someone with a hurt is not easy. It's gut-wrenching. You know, if we're doing it even with the best of intentions, it's not easy, because we know if I come to you and say, Rich, you did this, and I believe that was a sin against God, I'm risking my friendship with you. I'm risking my relationship with you. Because if you don't feel you sinned, then you could potentially get upset with me. And so now we may have this back and forth. So it's not easy. At the same time, there's a flip side of the coin where we can make it all too easy to be demanding, as your example was at the beginning of this topic. I can get offended. I can get angry. I can get demanding. And I'll tell you something. I'm very good at that. I'm very good at getting incensed very quickly. It's an issue for me because, as I've said on this show, I have pride issues, you know, and so God is constantly working with me to refine that. And I've had to learn to button my lip more often than probably most people have to, because of who I am as an individual. It's way too easy for me to get bent out of shape too quickly. And so, go ahead.
I'll throw this in there. It's also even harder when it's people you only know online.
Mm-hmm.
You may interact with them regularly, but you may know them online, but it's not the same way. Like, as a parent, you know, like with me, I have three children. Well, they're all grown now, but each one of them have different personalities, and I know the ones that I can, you know, just be completely straightforward and hard blunt with, and you know that's the way it works with them. Another one, you may have to be a little more subtle. One, I can't joke about certain things with because they get upset. And as a brother and sister in Christ, we need to be aware and know our brothers and sisters. Just like there was a touchy subject with you that I knew you would get upset about if I teased or messed with you or picked at you about, you know, I should be graceful and not do that and aim that towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I, you know, tease each other and pick at each other a lot, but, you know, we have that type of relationship and we know areas not to, you know, delve into.
Right.
But I think in this social media world today, we kind of forget some of those aspects of friendship and being a brother and sister in Christ. And sadly, even in church, people that we go to church with, how well do we really know our brothers and sisters that attend church with us?
Yeah.
You know, and that's another thing. It's just like we're in a society of, you know, selective friendships. And even at church, you know, we don't necessarily associate with everyone that we go to church with. There may be one or two brothers or sisters that we feel close to that, you know, we can chit chat and talk with, but it's almost like not necessarily a cold friendship, but it's more of a, you know, I see you and we speak and say hi and walk on. And I don't really think that's a biblical model.
No, absolutely. And I think so much of that is, it's not even just our social media culture, it's just culture in general has become very detached and it's very divided, especially in our current political climate. And so it's become very easy for us to live isolated lives and we're not interacting as we ought to be. And then you bring into that on top of it, that social media driven mindset, and it's become something we carry with us day to day to day and starting to become how we interact with each other, not just online, but in person. And I think that's becoming a bit more problem. When we're talking about this issue of reconciliation and forgiveness and the idea that you forgive someone who's come to you, let me just read something from Colossians chapter 3. Paul writes in verse 12, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." And it starts, I think, so much of this issue of reconciliation is doing exactly what Paul talks about, is putting on humility, meekness, kindness, patience, forgiveness. If we start with a heart that is, as you've said, we love our brethren, we're willing to make adjustments in our lives for those with whom we are going to spend eternity, and we recognize that the reason we want to deal with this issue with reconciliation is that it's not about just my personal offense. And don't get us wrong, we're not saying don't seek to call someone to reconciliation just because like there's this clinical detached idea of, well, we want them right with God. Of course we want that reconciliation between brethren. We absolutely want that. And again, it's understandable to be hurt when someone sins against you. So we want that horizontal reconciliation. But to be able to do that starts with that heart condition that we are supposed to have, which is to put on kindness, meekness, gentleness, compassion, love, forgiveness. If we start there, then that how we pursue that, Rich, I think makes such a, it's so much easier to do rightly. And then we can forgive. And then what is the whole reason we forgive? Because we ourselves are forgiven of God through Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. You know, he died on the cross and paid for our sins while we were yet sinners. Reconciliation was done at the cross while we were still offending him. You know, they were railing accusations and spitting at him and calling him names, and he pays the penalty at the cross. And it's the thief on the cross who had been railing at him who goes, what am I doing? Lord, remember me when I come into your, when you come into your kingdom. He recognizes it, and he paid that man's sins while he was doing it. He paid for his sins. So we are forgiven in that way by such a kind and loving and merciful God. How can then we not extend forgiveness to someone else in that same way? What do you think, Rich? When we're pursuing that reconciliation, we've set and said we want to be praying, we want to have the right heart, we want to have the right motivation, and then we take it to them. What do we do then?
Well, like I said, I think in that article it pointed out, and I think it hit the nail on the head with praying first and forgiving, going and forgiving that person before we ever address with them what has transpired. And depending on who you're going to be addressing, you know, sometimes it'll be a very humble reply. Oh, brother, I'm sorry. I didn't know I did that. I didn't realize. Would you please forgive me? Would be a biblical response. If the person gets defensive, if it's a very prideful person and they get defensive and shrug you off and, you know, I didn't do that. You know, you're taking it wrong. How dare you get upset over something so silly? You know, then you're dealing with another sin, because, you know, that kind of compiles it one onto the other. I'm going to flip it back with you. If you came to me with something and I responded in that manner, that, Chris, you're crazy. I didn't do it. I didn't say it like that. You're making something out of nothing. You're overreacting. Am I being biblical in that response? And what would be your response to it? I mean, would you just say, well, you know, this is just kind of how I feel. Maybe we should both pray about it, you know, mm-hmm. because these, it's actually such an easy topic. It's really hard to truly explain in depth, because this is actually something we deal with every day.
Mm-hmm.
Truly it is, because honestly, is there a day that goes by that somehow, somewhere, either at work or at home or online, someone says or posts or does something that may rub you the wrong way?
Oh, yeah.
I do. And, you know, at some point we have to realize that we may be a little bit too thin-skinned, and other times we may be too thick-skinned. But, you know, if I'm constantly offended by stuff people are saying or joking about or whatever, I think that's a sign that I really need to take a look at my own self. Maybe I am the one overreacting and making too much out of some of this.
Yeah.
But, you know, back in the context of you know, I responded to you that, you know, you're nuts, and, you know, you're overreacting. You know, how do we handle that?
Well, I think there's two things we can do. First off is to recognize that not always when we have been confronted with sin in our own lives have we been quick to drop to our knees and pray and ask forgiveness of God. We've not always done that. So sometimes God has to constantly work on us. And some people like me, God has to keep beating about the head and neck before I get it. But so you've got somebody who has sinned against you, and you've examined your heart, you've looked at the actual issue, you're actually able to look at the Bible, as Tim Challey says, and put biblical language to what the person did, and now you've taken it to them. I think the first thing is to recognize that this person may need to process. Suddenly, out of the blue, an individual, and I think, Rich, one thing we probably haven't said is when we go to someone to address an issue of sin, I think how we do that matters, because we said at the beginning of the show, just barging in and demanding that apology is not the appropriate way. What's a good way that you can do that? Maybe meeting and sitting down with somebody for a cup of coffee, sit down over lunch, you know, do it somewhere where it's comfortable and that you can talk to them, and you can talk to them about the fact that you love them as a brother, you're appreciative of this issue or this attribute that they have. Do a very Pauline type rolling into the issue, because often as Paul wrote his letters, he didn't just launch into all the things they were doing wrong. Even the Corinthian church got a little bit of a a breather before he started, throwing the kidney punches. I think we want to approach that gently and compassionately and then bring into the subject why we wanted to meet with him. So that's just a place to start. But as we're talking about it, it may be necessary. This person's going to have to sit down and think about it. Think about how many times that you've heard a sermon where you just were not happy with how the pastor put it. And you left that church and you're like, I don't think that's right. I think he's handling that wrong. And then as you've sat down and you've processed what you've been hearing, you began to realize what made you mad was not the pastor and not the sermon, but it was the fact that God was convicting your heart. So, Rich, I think a good place to start with that is just recognize there might not be an immediate repentance. There might not be an immediate apology. That person may have to think about it. And I think we're going to have to, as you said earlier, how we're dealing with that individual and how well we know them is going to have to play into how we then proceed after that. And it might be, just a willingness to say, look, brother, I just wanted to bring it to your attention. I'm not trying to be pounding on you. I just wanted to let you know this is what I saw. And I think something Todd Friel at Wretched Radio said one time is one way that we can address those before we even go into it is just to assume the best. And maybe it's something I don't understand. Maybe there's more to the story than I knew. And so, like you said, maybe I am overreacting. Maybe I didn't know a certain aspect of it. So how I approached, at the beginning might also alter how this plays out. And so, hey, brother, I know this is not something that I would think you would be inclined to do. So that help me to understand, because I saw this and my first thought was, boy, he's doing that and that looks sinful. Is there something going on? Is there more? Help me understand this, because I wouldn't want you to think that that's what you were doing. And maybe I'm misinformed. And that helps. And I think that gives them an opportunity to understand you're not trying to come at them with both barrels blazing and demanding and insisting on things. And we may have to be willing to take a breath and say, hey, look, I don't want to push harder. I don't want to push further. I don't want to upset you. I love you. You're my brother in Christ. And I just wanted to talk to you. I apologize for getting you upset, because we need to be willing to recognize that perhaps there's something about how we've approached it that has put them on the defensive. And I think as Tim Challies mentions in his article, humility should always rule the day on this one. We should always approach it with a very humble attitude. And then if we part ways, we want to part ways not with fisticuffs. We want to part ways loving one another. And I'm not saying give ground and say, well, okay, but obviously you didn't sin and I'm wrong. Not saying you definitely need to do that, but just maybe leave it with them and be willing to move on in the discussion, or if it seems appropriate, part ways. And then, as you said, Rich, maybe even examine my own heart, think about the things that he or she has said, and then examine my heart and maybe come back to it again. And I think that's when we read in Matthew, that passage where we are talking about church discipline, the whole point is that you're winning your brother. You're winning him back into the fellowship. That's the whole point about it. So it's not like, oh, I went and told him and he denied it, let's go get two or three more. I think the intention behind it is that you are addressing this ongoing issue with a brother and he's not repenting, he's not dealing with it. And now it's getting to a point where the church has to get involved. And so that's why I think there needs to be time. There needs to be some patience, some self-examination, and some willingness to let the Holy Spirit work on a person's heart.
Absolutely, brother. I agree with everything that you said. But we also, and you touched on it briefly, we need to keep in mind, too, that in today's world, everyone is offended by something.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, 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 because you're not going to relay what the Bible teaches, you're just pounding on them. They're going to get defensive, and once that person becomes so defensive, it doesn't matter what you say, even if you end it with a very gospel-centered message.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to exercise a little bit of discernment, and sadly, exercise something that's lacking in today's society, and it's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there are certain words that you could use about two people having sex outside of marriage, and certain derogatory words, you start out using that, whether it's true or not, they're not ever going to hear anything past that. So we just need to be mindful of what we're saying, how we're saying it, and who we're saying it to, and make sure that we're doing it in a way that honors God, honors the Bible, honors salvation itself. And you know, the Bible tells us to be salt and light. And sadly, far too often, I think, you know, like we've said before, being balanced as a Christian is almost impossible. It seems like we either lean too hard one way or too hard the other way.
Yeah.
And, you know, to the point to where in today's world, even just saying that homosexuality is a sin, okay, automatically we have offended half the country by that statement alone, mm-hmm. without any other adjectives being thrown into it.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. And that issue of humility, that patience, that kindness, that compassion plays such a big part in it. And I think there's another aspect of this, and we're coming up on, we've got about maybe 10 minutes left in the show, and I think there's another aspect of this we want to touch on, and that's how ought we pursue reconciliation when we're the guilty party? It's easy. I think we always want to think about, well, I'm the offended party. I'm the one that's been sinned against. I'm the one that needs, you know, to deal with the issue of reconciliation and forgiveness. What about when you're the one that's done the offense? And there was another article that came from BeliefNet, written by a Mark Roberts. Now, I don't know anything about Mr. Roberts, but Rich, you stumbled across this one. I thought it was a pretty good one. So I don't know anything about him. We're not lifting up Mr. Roberts as having any kind of suitable credentials, or we know nothing about his theology, but I think he's made some interesting points in this article. And just for clarity, he does have a picture of the Pope, of a particular Pope shaking hands with a guy that he forgave because the guy shot him. Don't freak out if you go and read the article. He just uses this as an example. Some of y'all might just get a little bit antsy, so that's just a trigger warning, just so you know. So anyway, I think that the context of the article, and he cites Matthew 5:23-24. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, then come and offer your gift. His point in that article is that God so desires for us to address issues of sin in our life when we've sinned against someone, that even before we're standing before God to worship and offer our gift of worship to Him, we're to reconcile with someone. And so, Rich, if I've done something against you, my inclination should not be to be defensive, should not be to be justifying myself or demanding that, well, if he thinks I did something wrong, he can come talk to me. Rather, it should be, I should go to him because I've said this or I've done that. And he may feel that I've sinned against him, or I can see that I've hurt him. And so I should be seeking to confess my sin to you, Rich, and seeking to reconcile and seek your forgiveness. That should be my heart. I should be willing to hear that I've done something wrong and then go to you and address that. And I think that's something I don't see often, quite honestly, very often, especially as you pointed out in our social media context.
Seek her out and address it with her and ask her to forgive. forgive me. And, you know, maybe there's times, even on social media, with a brother or sister, you know, we backtrack and think, well, maybe I said this, or maybe I did this, and we seek them out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are times when we know for sure, okay, I hurt this person. You know, they're really upset. I feel like I should forgive them. There are times where, you know, we can be tempted to kind of drag it out and not go to them as soon as what we should, you know, because of different feelings or emotions or, you know, even our own sin, because we feel guilty because, you know, we've been guilty of this, this, or this, and, you know, how are they going to respond? You know, I don't want to have to deal with listening to them being upset with me, because I know they already are, but it still all comes back to a heart issue and a heart check, and, you know, like you said, we need to approach it with humility and prayer and be willing to, you know, seek out forgiveness from others, especially when our conscience pricks us and we know for sure that we either did hurt them or, you know, we suspect that we might have hurt them. Because generally, if you suspect that you've hurt someone, more than likely you probably have.
Absolutely. And the scripture is clear. I mean, Rich, if you're the offended party, as the article points out here, if you're the offended party, then you've been given command of Christ to go and seek for repentance on the part of the person who sinned against you, and to seek their reconciliation. So that's a command on your part. But guess what, folks? If you're the offending party, you have a command to go and make reconciliation with someone else. And so neither of us have permission to wait for the other side to make the first move. We've actually, the whole point of this is reconciliation, biblical reconciliation. If I have sinned against Rich, then I should go to him. If I'm not comprehending, or I'm just being stubborn and I'm not repenting, then Rich is, he has a command of God to come to me and to seek my repentance. Why? So that we are both walking rightly with Christ. That's the whole point of actual reconciliation. And to risk getting a little bit of a firebomb here, that's why I have an issue with so much of the social justice movement lately talking about things like racial reconciliation, because biblical reconciliation is me being reconciled to God for my sins and me being reconciled to Rich for sinning against him. That's where we talk about reconciliation. Actual specific sins that I've done for which I need to be forgiven. And so the social justice movement makes it very generic, and it may point to one particular group and say, well, because of this, somehow you're guilty of something, and then this group over here, they're disenfranchised, so you have to be reconciled to them, even if I didn't have anything to do with it. So that's not a biblical form of reconciliation. That's why I have such a problem with that, because... Go ahead, Rich. Yeah, absolutely. So, Rich, I hopefully what we can make is the takeaway from this is that when we are looking at issues of sin and offense, is there are things that we want to be looking for. Number one, if I'm just offended, I mean, it's actually kind of comical, the example that Tim Challies uses in his article, because he wants to make a distinction between just being offended about something and the actual sin, you know, did someone commit a sinful act? The reason the guy gets bent with him in that the example he uses in the article is that Tim had written in his notes the Bible verse that he wanted to read, and so he read from his notes and not from the Bible. This guy was like in his face over the fact that he didn't go to the physical Bible to read the verse. So it kind of highlights how easily we can get torqued about something that has absolutely no substance to it, and this guy just wants to get in Challies's face. How dare you? So we want to examine, is there an issue of sin here? Is there something repentance needs to happen, reconciliation needs to happen? And then both parties, prayerfully, humbly, with patience and compassion, are coming to each other, and we're not clubbing each other, justifying behavior or demanding how dare you act like this, I want an apology, but rather wanting to walk rightly as brothers and sisters in Christ, unified, because Satan loves disunity, loves to see us tearing each other apart, because then he can parade that around as a reason for the heathen to blaspheme. We want to do this humbly and compassionately, and we want to be an example of grace. Why? Because Christ himself paid the penalty for sin at the cross while we were yet sinners. So the whole point of reconciliation, biblical reconciliation, is emulating our Savior who died to pay the price for our sins while we were yet sinners. Rich, is there anything more we should add to that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, bearing each other's burdens and lifting each other up and watching out for each other and pointing out sin in each other's lives and helping lean on one another. And we didn't intend on this, but it just dawned on me during the course of the show. I think we came up with the perfect topic leading into Thanksgiving.
Amen.
So if you listen to this episode, so inclined, share it with some of your friends and maybe family, because sad as it is to say, Thanksgiving can be a very contentious time in a lot of families.
And just ask any police department when they get the most domestic violence calls. It's almost always around the holidays. Absolutely. But yeah, brethren, we want to talk about that because it's such a very, very important topic, especially in light of the culture that we're in right now. We are in a very divided culture. We're in it's just this, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm offended, you need to apologize. No, I'm offended, you need to change your ways. And it's just dogmatic, it's rhetoric, it's vitriol. And there may be points where truth is being said, but there's no humility, there's no compassion, there's no love and kindness. And those are things that we're supposed to put on as Christians. So we should be an example to the world when it comes to the issue of reconciliation. And we should seek repentance of our brethren, not so that we get a pound of flesh, but so that they are in right standing with God. We need to be examples of that, folks, and hopefully this message, I shouldn't say this message because we're not preaching a sermon, but this podcast will stimulate your thinking on that issue, and maybe stop and think about the next time you're online and you want to go after somebody for a perceived wrong. Think about, how does the Bible discuss that issue of taking an issue to a brother and treat them as a brother in Christ, as a sister in Christ, and seek genuine reconciliation. So, Rich, any final thoughts before we close tonight out?
Well, I just would like to thank everyone that's tuned in and listened. And as we try to say each week, you know, whatever you do, do to the glory of Christ, and make it a point to, especially during the holiday season, be sharing the gospel at least once a day.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, thank you for being with us this week, folks. Again, thank you for your patience, for allowing us to take last weekend off as we grieved the loss of our dear friend. Again, we would ask you lift his family and loved ones up in prayer. And we thank you for this opportunity to speak to you and spend time with you and occupy space in your phone or your podcast app, whatever it is you're using to listen to us. We don't deserve it. We're grateful for it. And it shows that there's definitely a gracious and merciful God, that there are people out there that spend time listening to us. So thank you. And as you go into next week, think about the gratitude that you have to a kind, loving, merciful God who has given you life and breath. And even in the midst of your difficulties and your struggles, and we're all facing them in some capacity, he is there with you. He is comforting you. He is equipping you. And he will use it for your ultimate good and his glory. So as we go into Thanksgiving, take next week off. Do not worry about taking out space on your phone to listen to us next week. Enjoy time with your families. Pray for those who cannot be with their families. Pray, and whatever God may equip you to do, maybe help those who cannot take care of themselves or cannot provide for their families this week. And then give thanks to God for all that he has done in your life. So thank you for being with us. We are grateful. We love you guys. We'll talk to you next time. Good night. God bless. We'll see you then.